Praise God. Did you bring your Bibles today? All right, you may be seated. Open them to John chapter 8, if you would. And we're going to just continue obeying what the Holy Ghost told us to do as the body of Christ.
Amen.
You know, we had a minister's conference here, as you well remember. And during that time, one of our guests, Phil Driscoll, was mightily used of God in what I believe is beyond the simple gift of prophecy. He stepped over into a different arena. And he began to talk about things to come for these last days, getting the body of Christ ready and prepared to really harvest the promises and the prophecies of God for the early and the latter rain coming together right before the coming of Jesus. While that prophecy was going forth, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to my spirit because I saw something in the Spirit, and I want to remind you what the Spirit of God said to me. I saw this body of believers as I looked down almost like I was above the auditorium, looking down on the auditorium. I saw this body of believers as if you went out the front door and the moment as a collage, you went out to the front door, you went whoo, like that. In other words, you just fanned out into the city. And I saw you going to work. I knew you were going to work miracles. And the Lord said, prepare your people for the miraculous. And so last week we talked about this briefly concerning the things that were coming. And it dawned on us in the service last week, or it certainly dawned on me while some communication was coming about preparing for the miraculous and expectation and sowing seed and all the things God had been saying. And it dawned on me that I was not sure, certainly to the folks that had not been in discipleship class, that they, when God began to say, prepare for the miraculous, that I wasn't real sure that everybody understood that that didn't mean sit back and wait, God's going to do the miraculous for you. And it was important that we grasp the fact that we're not preparing for God to do the miraculous. That's in motion all the time. We're preparing to work miracles. This is very important for us to grasp. Because I'm telling you by the Spirit of God, it's just my perception, and I see it clearly in the Spirit. Very few Christian people ever come to the place to where they believe they can work miracles.
Amen.
I want you to hear with your ears what the Spirit of God said in this prophecy, and I believe it'll set the stage for some things. Are we ready to go?
Now be it known that there have been many songs that are made in my honor. They've been man anointed by my spirit, and they have been in my time. But there is a new sound that is coming into the earthly realm that will not be a man-made sound, nor have its origin in earthly things. It'll be heavenly in its dimensions. And it'll cause widespread fires in the earth. Fires that will begin to burn in the hearts of men and women. Because there is a sound in heaven that has not been heard in the earth yet. But those sounds are coming, and I'm raising up places where they will be heard, because they'll not be the norm. They'll not be status quo. They will offend many. They will frighten some. But oh, it'll cause a burning in the heart of men who will listen. It'll cause a burning in the hearts of women who will listen. For sounds carry my presence like no other earthly force. Sounds, I ride sounds. I ride them into the hearts of men and women and boys and girls. And I desire that there is a new paramount that begins to raise. It is not right that the world looks at my people's sounds and don't appreciate them. and think that there's some kind of backdoor principle. Anything that I do is always starts little, but it ends up being gigantic. I say that the sounds of heaven are coming to the earth, and that they will call worshipers to come. They'll cause from far and near. They'll hear the sound and they'll say, there's something in the sound that is calling me. Oh yes, I am in the sound. I am calling. I am calling from the highways and from the byways. I'm calling from nations. I'm calling all globally. I'm raising a sound throughout the earth that will be heavenly. And all that hear it will say, surely that's a heavenly sound. Surely that's a heavenly sound. There's something that happens when I hear the sound. Peace comes. Peace comes. In a time when peace is at an all-time low, oh, there's sounds coming that'll usher the Prince of Peace into the realms of the earth, will usher in angelic forces who will begin to sing. Oh, it's been heard here and there where some of my messengers have joined in. Oh, but it's going to begin to happen more and more frequently. It's going to be happening in greater numbers, and it's going to be heard in greater numbers. It's not going to be just heard in one little place. It'll be heard around a city. For I'll surround a city. I'll surround it just like I did in the days of old. I'll surround it, and the sounds will come from every direction. And it'll be known that the God of heaven is alive and filled with power, that his power, his mercy is reaching all realms of the earth. Oh, I'm not going to be shortchanged. I'm not going to be outlived or outlasted. I laugh at darkness because it has no chance to live when I come. I am the light, and my light is coming to the earth in revelation, in sounds, in sermons, in television shows, in every kind of communicative force. My presence and my power are going to be experienced. Do you think that technology is new to me? Oh, I have great plans for the technology you call new. I have great plans already established, because the earth will know, and they'll see it on cell phones. They'll see it in different ways. It'll be seen in holograms across the sky, but the holograms are not holograms. The holograms that they think are simply my forces. I've long understood this technology. I walk in and out of it at will. So be it known that there are new things on the horizon. Be very slow to hold on to the old, especially if it's not working. If it's not working, there might be time for change. My ways are always new. My ways are above human comprehension. But it takes faith to begin to implement my ways. For when it was with Noah, he began to implement a new strategy and was saved. There are new strategies coming. New strategies are coming. New strategies are coming. New ways. New ways. New ways of provision. New ways. Don't compromise what you know. Don't compromise what you've been taught. Hold on to it. Hold on to it. Don't operate in any area of fear. Fear-based strategy always fails. Don't operate in any kind of other thing other than in my plans. My ways are higher than your ways, As the heavens are above the earth, so are my strategies. Oh, I have strategies that you've never even dreamed of for you. I have strategies that you couldn't even dream of in your wildest imaginations. I'll just drop them in your spirit, says the Lord. And you'll know, and people will look at you and say, how did you figure that out? You'll say, oh, I didn't. But God put it inside me. I just know that I'm supposed to do this. And oh, there's going to be many, many new strategies that are going to bombard the earth. And they're all designed so that Jesus can be lifted up, so that he can be lifted up higher than cults, higher than far-flung religious cultures. Oh, and there's going to be great miracles. You're entering a time when miracles will become commonplace, more commonplace than they've ever been. And they're not going to just be regionalized. They're going to be happening in streets, in neighborhoods, as my presence begins to be infiltrating. I am infiltrating now, and I'm stepping up my actions. So be ready. Be ready and be expectant that I am moving in your path. Your whole life can change in a matter of hours. All you need is one strategy that heaven drops into you. And I have them by the trillions. I have more strategies than anyone could ever dream of or imagine. So don't think you're at a dead-end street. No, you're not. I'm widening the highway. So just relax and know that good times are ahead of you, not behind you. And don't listen to the doomsday speakers who are telling you how bad it's going to be. Well, it may be for some, but never have my anointed or my elect suffered because of economic conditions. I am not limited by earthly realms, and you are only limited when you walk in them. Walk above them. Walk above them. There's always going to be lights in your house. There's always going to be food. There's always going to be sustenance. Lord, we just thank you for your presence. All of you pastors, just lift up your hands. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom I serve, I break every tradition, that would limit you from the high places. I release the wind of refreshing to blow in your life and in your ministry. I curse despondency. I curse depression. I curse every lying thing that would attempt to rob you of your ministry, or rob you of your calling. I curse it in the name of Jesus. And I replace it with the oil of gladness, with the oil of joy. I replace it now in the name of Jesus. I replace it into every area of your heart, into every area of your mind. I replace thoughts of losing with thoughts of gaining. I replace thoughts of despondency with thoughts of great joy. I cause vision to be born in you now in the name of Jesus. I loose the vision that God would place before your life, that was put there before you were born. I release that vision, that high calling. I say you are in front of the greatest days of your life. You're standing looking at them right now. They come to you. They are on you. They are with you. Provision. Forces of righteousness, angelic hosts, come now and begin to do these things in the lives and hearts of men and women. Wives, I call you fulfilled in the name of Jesus. Wives, I call you to assume a higher position than ever in the ministry that God has called you to do. In the name of Jesus, I loose an undercurrent in the Spirit that propels you forward. I loose waves in the name of Jesus. Waves of glory. Waves. Waves of glory. And I say that you are not limited in any area of your ministry. You sing the song of the Lord. You shout the shout of the redeemed. You clap the sound of victory. You dance the joy of heaven. You are filled with the very essence of God. And these days are to be the greatest days. The greater days are ahead of you. They're ahead of you. Refuse to look back. Refuse to dwell on the past. Begin to expectantly dwell on the future. And praise me now for the future that is before you. See the victories that are coming. See the provision that is coming. See the miracles that are coming. See all the things that I have planned for you. For I know the thoughts and plans, and you know some of them. Plans for your welfare. Plans for your hope. I am the hope giver. I am the hope fulfiller. You don't have to accomplish it. I will accomplish it. All I need is you as the vessel. You be the vessel. I will be the force. You be faithful. I will show myself strong in your life. Lord, we just give you praise and we thank you.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Glory to God. We thank you, Lord, for strategies. We thank you for who you are and what you're saying and doing in our lives. We bless you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Can you stay in this atmosphere and allow me to minister to you out of this prophecy a little bit? You know, the Bible says, and in fact, let's read this verse, 1 Timothy. And I want you to look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. This charge I commit to thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies that went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Now, in order for us to give this the credence and the weight it deserves, we have to actually believe that God speaks to us through the voice of men. And I would submit to you that if you cannot believe that He could speak to you through the voice of men today, that you really don't have proper value on the Word of God you hold in your lap. Amen. Because what you hold in your lap is either the Word of God or it is not. And it came as men were moved upon and spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. What we have that we know as a blood covenant, which is our covenant promise that we call the Bible, the Word of God, is actually a collection of written down prophecies and visions that God by His Spirit gave men, that He commanded them to write down. Every promise started as a prophecy. Now this is why the Scripture says in the epistles of Peter, there is no prophecy. Well, I'll show it to you. Lord, now hold your finger in 1 Timothy. I want you to look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. And does anybody have the New American Standard with them today? You do? Okay, I'll borrow that in just a moment, just out of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory. This is My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. For we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no, what? Read it out loud. Prophecy of what? What I want you to understand, and I believe many of you do, but I want to reinforce that this verse equates prophecy and Scripture as synonymous terms. See, many, many times we wonder why things don't come to pass in our life. Well, God, You prophesied it to me. Well, first and foremost, there's several elements that will either allow your faith to bring that word into manifestation in the flesh or not. This is why it is so important to understand the power that honor holds in connection with the anointing. Because it will cut off, you see, Jesus, in effect, all preaching basically is prophecy. In fact, the Amplified Bible translates the Greek word prophecy as inspired preaching and teaching. So much so that there are whole denominations that believe that prophecy, as we just heard it, is done away, that all those things are done away, and that all there is left is preaching, and that all preaching is prophecy. Well, that's not true, and it can't be true because of several things. Number one, it can't be true because the Apostle Paul talked about words which man's wisdom teaches and words which the Holy Ghost teaches, and he differentiates between teaching out of your head certain knowledge and things the Holy Ghost is saying. So clearly not all preaching is prophecy, because prophecy has at its element or at its essence the idea that God is speaking by inspiration through an individual. So preaching can be prophecy, but not all prophecy is preaching. So we can't boil it down that simply. And yet we need to understand that Peter here is preaching a message, and his message that he's preaching came from prophecy that we now know as Scripture. So it's important for you to understand that when I take Scripture and preach from it, I'm preaching prophecy to you. So it's very biblical to preach from prophecy if you know in your heart it was God that spoke it. Because we're not talking about going out of the bounds of Scripture. We're talking about Scripture coming alive to us by a present utterance from heaven that reinforces the fact that this belongs to you now. Prophecy is designed to cause us, if we believe it, to war a good warfare on the very Scriptures that promise us what comes to us. So we need to understand that many things in our life we don't achieve or receive because we don't believe them. And you know how I know we don't believe them? Because we don't put proper emphasis, proper weight, and proper value on the prophecy. And the reason we don't is many people leave church, hear a prophecy, and by the end of lunch cannot tell you what it said. or never stop when a prophecy happens in church long enough to even listen to what was said to see if the Lord is speaking to us something that's supposed to change the course of the very service. We'll sing two fast songs, three slow songs, maybe there's a little prophecy, and then we go on with the offering. So honor, and we see this in Jesus' hometown, honor toward the prophet. Amen. No prophet is without honor.
Amen.
Did he not say, believe the prophets and you'll prosper?
Yeah, that's right.
So there's honor in connection. Well, how would you believe the prophet? Believe that he is one? Well, I don't think that's what he's talking about. Believe prophets exist? Believe he exists? Believe he has a birth certificate? What are you supposed to believe? What he says. That what he said was God talking to you. Getting past his flesh, getting past his personality or hers, and believing God loved me enough that he actually spoke to my life to give me insight and direction and vision, a vision he has for my life that wasn't in my current thought process, or if it was, it clarifies and solidifies it to give me enough courage and confidence to step out.
Amen.
And the scripture clearly says, and you'd have to say this is beyond the first level apostles. I mean, we can say all we want about the gifts of the Spirit being not for today and then falling away. I'm talking about in religious circles. We don't say that. And you don't believe that or you wouldn't be coming to this church.
Amen.
But the point I'm trying to make is it is out there, and those trappings are inside of us so much that we don't realize when prophecy comes forth that we just treat it like, oh, that's, we just kind of just treat it like somebody talking. And then we wonder why it doesn't come to pass.
Wow.
And we've set ourselves up for a reinforcement of this lack of honor because, well, the Lord said it'd be a year of such and such, but it didn't happen to me this year. Well, of course it didn't. But it did for some. The people that believed it, it happened for. Of course it didn't happen for you because you didn't believe it. As you were waiting on God to do it all, instead of understanding this was God's word to you, you had to respond to it. So when the Bible says a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, Jesus talking about his hometown, he's talking about the office of prophet, and clearly he had some things to say to them. Now, how do we know that they rejected Jesus? They didn't honor his message. His message made them mad. So how you respond to the message is where the honor is. Hello. Sometimes we've missed this. People have missed this. See, just sitting in the pew, oh, well, you know, there goes Brother Tracy again. See, it's not about me. It's your interaction with whether or not you believe I'm telling you the truth. That's where the honor is. The honor's on the message. And when you can't even tell somebody what they said after it's over, or you're not even willing to say, hey, God might speak to me today, I've got a notepad out, there's no honor. And the honor's what connects you to the power of the message. And Paul clearly ties our own personal faith with bringing the prophecies to pass in our life, because he says here, and I'll come right back to this in Peter, but let's flip back and forth. Go back to 1 Timothy. He says, this charge I commit to thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies, which went before on thee, that thou by them might war a good warfare. Verse 19, holding faith and a good conscience. You see that? There are two elements to bring prophecies to pass in your life. Number one, you got to believe it and walk in faith where it's concerned. But number two, your conscience cannot be violated in any way concerning this issue. Now, I don't mean to go this deep into it, but you're disciples, and so I might as well just kind of attach some spiritual law because you're here to learn. I've noticed that when people begin to change the openness of their heart toward our life and ministry, that can come through critical attitudes, opinions, well, if I were him, I wouldn't do it that way, or whatever, or letting other voices, whatever the case may be. There's a lot of myriad of reasons why people change their openness for you to speak into their life. Shame can do it. Just a lot of things can do it. But the point I'm trying to make is when that changes in a person's mind and heart, and then they engage it when they start talking about it, if they start talking about things they thought, or they got disappointed, or maybe somebody offended them, or they didn't treat it just right at church, or whatever. When they start closing off, I've watched this, and it has never failed. In 30 years of ministry, it's never failed. God will quit talking to me about that person. Many, many times, I'll be in prayer, or I'll be, and they'll be in my heart, and the Lord will start saying some stuff. And a lot of things he says to me that I never prophesy in public I just kind of take it to the Lord and pray out as a pastor, because I see it going on in your life, and the Lord reveals it to me, and He talks to me about it, and He never says for me to say anything. But when a person closes off, what happens is that estimation of my voice in their life, the lack of value on the voice and the message, shuts off my ability to hear from heaven to talk to you from God. Because now my words aren't like God's words to you. So why should He use me to talk to you? If He's going to get through to you, He's going to try to get through to you to somebody that you have honor for. So He's going to quit talking to me and using me to prophesy to you if you start closing off to me. I've watched it happen again and again and again. And there are certain things that go with that. Now, I say that because it's important for us to understand that it was the message they didn't respond to, and even though the power of the Lord was there to work miracles, not many miracles could get worked because they didn't respond to the prophecy. Right. That's important, isn't it? And then, of course, in 2 Peter we see, and let's read the rest of this in 2 Peter, where it says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of a private interpretation. So now he's calling the Scripture prophecy. And he's saying that it's not individualized. That all of God's words belong to all of God's people. Praise the Lord. For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The entire Bible was spoken through a man's voice as the Spirit of God inspired and moved on him. Isn't that interesting? Now, Brother Charles, you have the New American Standard. Could I borrow that? Are you in that passage? Thank you, sir. Now listen to what it says, oops, here in the New American Standard, because for years I was taught, and you know, you can take a truth, and sometimes a truth becomes the truth, and it locks you down in an area. And your disciples, and I'm going to trust that you have enough spiritual wherewithal to understand what I'm going to say, putting it in proper context. There are people you could say this to that would run off and start spitting in chicken buckets and all that kind of crazy stuff, getting outside of the Scripture. But we understand that the Scripture is our filter. It's like this. The Lord showed it to me years ago, like the guy that's panning in the river with a screen. And he does, and he washes it with the water, and washes it with the water, and all of the debris and all of the small stuff and all of the fake stuff falls out until he seines out the gold. This is your screen. This is your filter to whether or not you know the Holy Ghost is actually talking, because He will never speak to you today something He hadn't already said. So you know it's gold when you wash it through this book. So understand, I'm not talking about getting outside of the Scripture. But we've closed ourselves off so much. Now I'm going to say something, and it's not an heretical statement. I realize people could take it and run off in license to hear all kind of goofy voices. But I'm talking to mature people here. Or at least I'm supposed to be. You understand, God is not in this book. This book is in Him. There's more to God than He's chosen to reveal to us, but He reveals Himself to us through this book. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? But our screen is we stay right in here, because this is the Spirit of truth, and He talks like this. He said enough to us that He chose to have it recorded so that we know how His Spirit talks. So that when a spirit is talking, and it's not talking like this book talks, can't be His Spirit, because His Spirit talks like this book talks. And that's what the Scripture says in John when He says, here's how you try the Spirit. We know whether it's the Spirit of God or the Spirit of error, because the Spirit of Antichrist will not say, or he will say. So by what the Spirit says is how we know whether it's a right spirit or a wrong spirit, because a right spirit will talk like this book, a wrong spirit will talk outside of this book. So I'm laying that foundation to let you know that this book is designed to manifest itself. Amen? Now, over the years, I remember the teaching that we got early on, and once again, it's a truth, and it's a good, it's a good thought, and it's a good truth, and it's not wrong, okay? But it's not full. There's a difference in having a truth, but being able to place that truth inside of the fullness of understanding of where it fits. And the truth was, years ago, if you get a prophecy and you put it on the shelf, and if it comes to pass, you know, it was God. If it doesn't, it never was. In other words, you just leave it alone. It's all on God's end. Because people went to such excess that people got afraid of seeking manifestations of God's presence and power to cause those things to happen. So much so that it was almost as if it was taboo to believe God for a vision or a dream. And I realize for baby Christians, you don't need to get out there and do a Gideon's fleece thing. You know, if the ground's wet and the fleece is dry, I realize that. Baby Christians could easily be led astray because we're not to be led from the outside in and by signs and all that. We're to be led from the inside out as Christians. I get that. But after you mature a little bit, you ought to have your senses exercised to discern both good and evil and know what belongs to you and know you stay inside this book. And after you mature a little bit, you should be in a position to have enough word in you and enough grounding and stability in you to begin to believe God for heaven to manifest itself through this book. Because these words weren't meant to stay on the page. They were meant to manifest themselves in your life. Now, for years I read this in the King James, and I read it in such a way that he says, we have a more sure word of prophecy, meaning I didn't need that vision on the mountain. I didn't need to see God's glory. I didn't need to see Elijah and Moses because I had the Bible. I don't need anything else. Well, I understand that stance because I'm of that company. I'm not only a word man to the bone, but I know what the Word says. The Word doesn't need any other thing to help bring itself to pass. The seed has in itself enough power to produce its own self. But now, think with me a little deeper, a little more mature. If you plant a seed and it does grow, it comes out of the unseen into the seen, and you do see something. You do see a blade. You do see a vine. You do see some fruit. You do see some grapes. You should see something. If this really does work, it shouldn't just stay on the page. It ought to be seen in your life. It ought to manifest itself. And I submit to you, it is the confirmation of it through manifestation that makes the Word more sure. Because God is no respecter of persons, and if He'll do it for you, He'll do it for me, and if He'll do it for me, He'll do it for you, and if you've ever seen anybody get a miracle, you ought to know you can get one. If you've ever seen anybody healed, you ought to know you can be healed. If you've ever seen anybody blessed, you ought to know you can be blessed. Because Revelation 19:10 says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. When somebody tells you of a miracle God did for them, it is Jesus speaking through a part of the body that you're a part of telling you what He will do for you. And what I found out was this, is that extra-biblical manifestation, when I say extra, I don't mean extra in the sense of outside the bounds of Scripture, so that's probably not a way to say that. Accurate, true, biblical manifestation. When this word was coming forth, if you recognized it, the Lord began to say, new strategies are coming, new strategies are coming. And He began to talk about this, and I should have highlighted it, but the bottom line is He says, my ways are above human comprehension, but it takes faith to implement my ways. You remember Him saying that? So God can want something for you, but until you believe it and step into it, it's never going to manifest. It's going to stay over here in the prophecy realm. So faith has to be engaged in implementing these ways. So the Lord said three things here that I want you to understand because this is very, very important. This is a long, about a 14-minute prophecy. Out of that 14-minute prophecy, there are things that just jumped off the page that tell us why we're doing what we're doing right now. Number one, He said faith. I have ways that you can walk in that are beyond your ways, but it takes faith. Everybody say faith.
Faith.
Faith to implement those ways. Then He said miracles are coming. Right? So miracles are going to become commonplace. And the Lord said to us, prepare for the miraculous. Well, one of the ways you prepare for the miraculous is when you see a situation and you recognize heaven has the answer and you understand the spiritual laws that govern it, by faith you step into that miracle. Amen. It takes it out of the realm of, well, God's going to work a miracle, and you realize the miracle flow is manifested and initiated and you step into it being used by God by faith. And often, you don't even have a divine visitation showing you exactly what to do. And many times, you don't even feel especially anointed. some of the greatest miracles that ever have taken place in our ministry. I didn't feel any special anything. I just believed God and did what He said. Put my hands on the people and used the name of Jesus. And the next thing you know, by God, they were dying and they're living. How did that happen? I didn't feel anything. There wasn't anything I felt. I just did that by faith. Now, I have felt things. And trust you have too. I have seen God move in extraordinary ways. But that doesn't mean He's more powerful or He's more present when I feel something and when I don't. Because faith and feeling have nothing to do. Feeling has nothing to do with faith. Faith is a spiritual force that comes out of your spirit, man. Amen? Amen. So it's important. We're talking about faith, then we're talking about miracles. And this blessed me so much because he talked about vision. And I don't know if you remember what he said about that, but he was praying and he said, I loose the vision that God would place before your life that was put there before you were born. I release that vision, that high calling. Then God said, I say you're in front of the greatest days of your life. You're standing looking at them. They come to you. They're on you. Then he said this. He said, see the victories that are coming. See the provision that is coming. See the miracles that are coming. See all the things I have planned for you, for I know the thoughts and plans, and so forth. So now, what has the Lord said to us? You remember in the main service for 2 weeks now, and I'll pick up with it today in this next service, I'm in a series called From Vision to Victory. That if you cannot see, it's not about you having a vision. It's about you spending enough time with God and in His Word for you to see yourself in God's vision plan for your life. It's seeing His vision for you. That's what's going to produce the victory. That's what's going to produce the miracles. Because when you see what He's called you to do, it's so far beyond what you can ask or imagine. You can't do it without miraculous help, grace, faith, and a bunch of money. Most of us, almost 90% of all vision preaching has come within the scope of you having a vision and believing for that vision. I understand write the vision and make it plain, but that's not an end to itself. Write the vision and make it plain is not an instruction for you to write the vision. Habakkuk 2 says, sit on the tower and wait to see what he will say and what you're... And then he said to the prophet, write the vision, make it plain. In other words, this is what God sees. He heard what God's vision was and wrote down what he saw God showed him. That's a different vision entirely. Amen? And we have to learn how to spend enough time with God to let God reorient the image in our command center, our spirit, where that vision is formed, where it comes into clarification, where we actually see ourselves not waiting on the miraculous to happen once in our lifetime. Well, you know, you're lucky if you only see two or three miracles in your life. I mean, when you really need it, God will show up. But reorienting yourself on the inside to see yourself as the body of Christ, who is actually set apart, called to implement and step into these strategies by faith and work miracles. This is big. Now, two verses, and I'm going to finish up with 2 Peter. First verse is Joel chapter 2, verse 28. It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon how much flesh?
All.
And who will prophesy? Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Say prophecy,
prophecy.
Visions,
visions,
dreams.
Dreams.
Say it again.
Prophecy, visions,
say it one more time.
Prophecy, visions,
now, say this. These are
the language
of the spirit realm.
The spirit.
This is what happens when the Spirit of God is poured out on you. There are prophecies, visions, and dreams. So he's saying there should be visions. He's saying when the Spirit of God is moving, there ought to be dreams. He's saying when God is in operation, he will speak through men. Are you with me now?
Amen.
On who? Our sons and daughters. So young men and young women, boys and girls, grandmothers and grandfathers, mamas and daddies, ought to all have this going on in their life. If they're a disciple walking on with God, maturing in God, there ought to be a continual interaction of God talking to you and you talking to God and Him showing you your future. This is very important. I'm still, this is a little bit of a digression from the way I was attacking it. But without question, it is the Spirit's plan to begin to help us open up our spirit to prepare for the miraculous. Can you see that? Because without this, we're not going to open ourselves up to supernatural help. One of the reasons people don't walk in the miraculous is they think that the idea of me working miracles indicates I'm the one got to do it. No, I don't supply the anointing. I don't supply the grace. I don't supply the power. I supply the faith and the obedience. He supplies the other. But I'm the one in the earth with authority, and unless I act on it, faith without works is dead. So unless I act on it, it won't get done. Isn't it amazing that God knows what you need before you ask? And He says, ask anyway. Isn't it amazing that even Jesus, the most anointed man that ever walked, and the man that walked in more wisdom and insight and victory and power and gifts, still had to ask? I mean, could you ever get anointed enough that you wouldn't have to ask? No? Because Jesus was the most anointed man that could ever walk, and He had to ask. Why? Because He walked as a man, and it is man's dominion. We initiate the interaction between us and heaven and our sphere of influence by getting God involved. The asking is a part of the coming and believing He is and exercising our will to get heaven involved in our circumstance. Otherwise, we're responsible to deal with it our own self. You see where I'm going with this? So, same thing is true with the gifts of the Spirit. Now, we're in Joel 2. Acts chapter 2, and you know it well, but when the Spirit of God came in that upper room, He appeared like smoke, wind, and fire. Yeah. They recognized that as a supernatural manifestation. This supernatural manifestation came for what purpose? To fulfill the prophecy. There should be manifestation to fulfill the prophecy. Heavenly manifestation. And when Peter recognized it, there it was. And what did he say? This is that. Now there's your formula right there. You recognize that this is the Spirit of God in operation because He's manifesting Himself in line with the word you've already been spoken to. Those two things run concurrent. See that? And so many people, they get all weirded out by the manifestation, but if they just knew the word, the manifestation wouldn't weird them out. They would expect manifestation because it's supposed to manifest itself. Miracles are supposed to happen. This is why God says this. Praise the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to read it to you out of the New American Standard because what I want to do is debunk the myth that it's taboo to seek these manifestations. We are well within our rights as believers to believe God for manifestations that confirm the Bible's truth. We have no right to believe God for something outside of what the Scripture promises. But there is so much more that manifests, and we say, oh, that can't be God. I've never seen it before. Okay, now what you're saying is, I know all the Scripture and every way God manifests, so this can't be God. Amen. You've seen God manifest so much. You know Him so well. You know the Bible so well. It would behoove you, if there's a manifestation through somebody that's been walking with God for 30, 40, 50 years, and you know their word person, you know their Holy Ghost person, you know their life, you know they're living right, you're a follower through those who have faith and patience have inherited the promises, and all of a sudden, boom, something manifests you had never seen before. Whoa, I know them, and I know that they love God, and I know they're sold out, and I know they stay with the word, and I know they're not in error. I ain't never seen that before. It'd behoove you to go back and start looking through your Bible. Because I'm telling you, I'm pressing into some things.
Amen.
And I'm believing God for signs and wonders. I'm believing God for some wonders that are going to make the whole congregation say, whoa, I wonder how that happened. That's what a wonder is. I wonder how Brother Tracy got heaven to do that. Now let me read this to you because it changed my whole perspective when I realized that this is the actual way that the Greek text reads. For we did not follow, verse 16, New American Standard, we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For when He received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to Him by the majestic glory, this is My beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. And we ourselves heard this utterance, made from heaven, that means it was audible and they heard it, when we were with him on the Holy Mount. So we're talking about the day of transfiguration when Peter, James, and John were there. Jesus changed and he began to glow in resplendent glory. And they saw Elijah and Moses come talk with him and all of that. He says, so we have, now the King James says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. And the way it reads indicates that the prophecy then, the scripture is more sure than the manifestation. But that's not the way the Greek reads. The Greek says the manifestation makes the prophecy more sure. Can you see this? Now, it's the same concept that if you can't produce it, you're not fit to preach it. Because it's a message and a theory until there's power to produce the message. It's men's words. Can you see that? So he that boasts of a false gift is like a cloud without rain. And the reason there's not many miracles in churches is because people give lip service to the miraculous. Talking about things that happened 40 and 50 years ago or stories that happened to somebody else. And they don't understand that their life can be a walking, talking, miraculous billboard. God will do it for you and do it for you now. So that you have something that you can tell people, look, I know it works. It worked for me. Now I'm not just prophesying to you. I've got something to hold up beside it to say, this prophecy came in my body. I'm living example to you that 1 Peter 2:24 heals. Glory to God. I know Daniel 10 works. Daniel 10, you say, yeah. Where Daniel fasted and prayed and believed God and confessed the word, and the angel fought his way through and came and delivered the promise to him. I know it works because I was in a faith fight for 7 months. Morning and night, believing God, confessing the word. My wife will tell you. And one night, we had a weekend away from our schooling. And there we were. I was awakened around 3 a.m. in the morning. And when I was awakened, there was an angel standing at the foot of my bed. I had a disease in my foot. I was believing God, trying to play college baseball at the time. And just, I couldn't. It just so hurt to even put my foot on the ground. I was basically out of commission. I'd believed God for months. And that angel appeared to the foot of my bed. He was standing there. Golden hair, shoulder length. He had on a white, like a white robe, you might say. His sash was light blue. I mean, it is so vivid, it's like it happened yesterday. He had a silver implement in his sash. It was probably about 12 inches, about a foot long. Tapered to a point like a sewing needle, sparkled. I just remember it sparkling. Had a hub on it like this. And he pulled that out of his sash. And he picked up my foot. Held it like this. He put the point of that into my heel, and then he took his thumb on the hub of that and shoved it, and I felt it as it went up into my bone, in the marrow of my bone. It's like it went up in the main bone of my lower leg, and I felt that as it went like almost like somebody, I guess, would put a needle in there and withdraw bone marrow, except it just went up inside from my foot all the way through that bone right up into the marrow. I could feel it. It went like that. And then he grabbed it like that, and he withdrew it. And when he withdrew that, whatever disease was in my foot, all the symptoms, all the pain, everything just went. It's like it sucked it out, like pulling back a syringe. It just went. When he pulled that out, it went. I felt it drain out my foot. He took that implement. He put it in his sash. He looked at me and smiled and raised his hands like this and looked up and he just. It's like smoke. It right through the ceiling. I kind of started like this. I didn't know I was awake. I'm like, am I awake? I jumped out of bed. I can still remember. Had enough cognizance about me to think, she's there. She didn't wake up. Am I dreaming? I kept feeling to myself like that. And finally, I got out of bed. Yeah, I know where I am. I'm awake. So I went in the restroom and flipped on the light so I wouldn't turn on the main light in the bedroom. And I looked and I thought, well, maybe it wasn't that foot. So I picked up the other one and I'm baby's flesh, just like it was never there. Just creative miracle, just like that. 7 months, I believe God for that. And that angel broke through. I know Daniel 10 works, and I know it works not thousands of years ago for Daniel. It works for Tracy Harris in the 20th century and 21st century. I know it does. I'm telling you, the prophetic word was made more sure to me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But heaven is real, and He will manifest for you. And He's promising to come to this body with the miraculous. Prepare the people for the miraculous. Can angels visit you? Praise the Lord. Will they protect you? Help you? You bet they will. Are they over your children right now? You betcha. Following them around. Praise God. Praise God. They're going to get your provision. They're moving your mountain.
Yes, they are, right?
They're whispering into the hearts and minds of people you need favor with.
Yes.
They're working for you, right? Whew. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, bless the Lord. 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 Zicite e kraka sotrek tenge de beketon se te protest bek jidi zombre se he kufradast bunch denenge de englektana mi grestingi je de bastun konoshke. I am never caught off guard by the interaction of humans and human affairs. I see all things, both in the heavenly, the earthly, and in the spiritual realm. Your enemy cannot maneuver outside of my sight. I see every move he's making. I know every strategy and weapon he's forming against you. My angels are moving in your behalf. Many things I protect you from, you never understand. We're prepared to do you harm. Many things I have thwarted, you never knew were launched at you. Many things I have protected you in the night. I've protected your family as you've been in travel. I have done these things for you. It is time for you to step up and understand that this is happening around you every moment of every day as you serve me. That the enemy is attempting to do you harm, and my angels are preparing and protecting your path. I'm doing this every day that you awake and every night that you are asleep, for the God of Israel does not slumber nor does he sleep. I am on watch. I am on assignment. I am your shield, and I am your exceeding great reward. Know this, my children, it is time for you to mature. Mature in your understanding of these things and have a reality of understanding that there is a spiritual sphere around you that's in operation all the time that you're going about your natural affairs. And understand that it is taken, by my estimation, for time is no object to me, but by my estimation, in your earthly time, it has taken me days, yes, weeks, yes, months, and even at times years to set you up for the things I have promised you to step into. I have been working on it. I've been working on the people. I've been working with my angels. I've been stopping the enemy from stopping you. And while the while, my spirit has been influencing your heart with my grace to mature you to the place that when the door opened, you would not be consumed by the assignment, because it is so much greater than you that your spiritual capacity has to arise to be able to do what I've told you to do. Understand, saith the Lord, that it is time for you to mature and recognize when these doors open and step into them by faith, because it is not my heavenly will that I would spend years preparing to promote you and you miss the promotion, saith the Lord. Time has come. So step up and step into all I have, for I have much more than you can conceive. Go deeper. Get out of the kiddie pool. Step on out with me, for I am going to give you a great catch greater than anything you've ever dreamed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you thank him for that? Glory to God. Whew. Whoa. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I just saw of all the great miracles I've seen and all the ministry we've done and all the nations I've been to, all that God has done, it's been like in the shallow end of a pool batting around a beach ball compared to what's about to happen in our lives in ministry.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I see it. I see it. I see it. I see it. I think I need you to hold that for just a second. I see it. I see it. I see it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to Brasahe Fregeste. Let's just wait on the Lord for a moment. Glory to God. Glory to God. I see it. I see. I see it. I see it. I see body parts being recreated. I see it. I see it. I've tasted it once or twice, but I see it. I see walking in it. Thank you, Jesus. I see it. I see it. I see this. Listen to me. But I just got a testimony of a couple that had come to one of our meetings, and we prayed for them, and he had had a previous marriage and had children, and she had had no children. And he had had an operation prior to their marriage that would not allow him to have any more children or to father any more children. And he basically said, because he was through having kids, he basically said, well, if God wants us to have kids, I guess he's going to have to do it. And she got up in the prayer line and brought him up with her, because he refused to have a natural reversal, if you understand what I'm saying. And laid hands on them. We just got, was it twins?
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Laid hands on that couple, and they got twins. Now, I just perceive, I saw the Spirit of God. There are things that cut off, there are choices we make and things in our life that cut off our spiritual reproduction. I see this in the Spirit. I see this by the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you by the Holy Ghost. There is going to be a recreation of our ability to accomplish everything God has called us to do, no matter how long it's been. Will you receive that? And if you'll get yourself geared up to hear what the Word of the Lord is, and even as I teach you from the Word in the next service, you'll start seeing yourself well. When I woke up this morning, one of the things the Lord told me is He said this to me in prayer. This is why I know I'm not quite through with this preparing for the miraculous. And so however many more weeks we need to, we'll do it. Because He said to me out of John 8, Son, it's not enough that the people know the truth. And He reminded me of 3 John, where John said, I have no greater joy than my children walk in the truth. And he began to talk to me about not just knowing the truth. Attending discipleship is not what's going to change your life. Walking in the truth. If you'll walk in the truth, 3 John 2 will become a reality. Above all things, you will prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. If you'll walk in that truth.